Hello and welcome to the Tucson Climate Chats podcast. This October 2nd recording, our eighth overall, comes to you from occupied indigenous lands in the north central neighborhood of Avondale. As always, I am your host, Nick Spinelli, an AmeriCorps VISTA member working on behalf of Arizona Serve, Prescott College, and Changemaker High School to demonstrate how national service can address both climate and poverty in the urban core of the Sonoran Desert. Our guests today are Elena Greenberg and Lizbeth Perez, Program Coordinator and Intern Support Specialist, respectively, for the Biodiversity Project at the University of Arizona. Elena, Lizbeth, welcome aboard.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's dive right in. The Biodiversity Project. What is this? Why are you on the show? Why are we here?
Well, we really love the Biodiversity Project and we'd love to introduce it to the rest of our Tucson community. So the Biodiversity Project is housed within the Women in Science and Engineering program here at the University of Arizona. We are aiming to foster a K through 16 plus pipeline into the workforce, specifically focused on environmental science. So we partner with the Friends of Saguaro National Park in Saguaro National Park, as well as the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum to collectively foster interest in diversity, inclusion, and equity within the environmental sciences, and to conduct outreach into our local K through 12 community. So we focus on working with University of Arizona students who then create and collaborate on developing lessons that are focused on environmental science, specifically on the biodiversity of the Sonoran Desert, and do outreach and teach these lessons to local K through 12 students. Right now, because of COVID-19, we've shifted this all to be conducted online. Right. So all of our interns that are U of A students are doing this through their computers from all around the U.S. And they're teaching to local K through 12 students here in Tucson.
That's awesome. Like, I've heard the sales pitch before because we've obviously spoken before this interview, and yet I still get goosebumps each time I hear it. I love it. So thinking a little bit about the history, mission, and goals of the project, yeah, why is there a need? And maybe put some language around why diversity, equity, and inclusion is so important in the sciences.
Yeah, and I'd love for Liz Best to speak to this as well. From a programmatic stance, we know that there is a lack of diversity within the environmental science fields and overall within STEM in general. And so our goal is to focus on increasing this diversity and inclusion within this field so that we can increase the sense of belonging and self-efficacy of students within these fields and hopefully engage them and inspire them to continue along the path into the workforce. And so, you know, we focus on gathering folks who are underrepresented within the STEM fields at U of A to role model that it is possible and that there is opportunities for younger scholars, you know, K-12 scholars, to engage in these fields as well. Now, Lizbeth has a lot of experience because she is actually a former intern in our program.
Hey.
Maybe she can speak a little about how this has impacted the K-12 students we've worked with.
Yeah, so not only am I coming into the program kind of like from the same background of the students we're trying to impact, I kind of know like exactly what the program is trying to accomplish because growing up, I didn't have that kind of role models that came from my background to look at to, you know, venture into the environmental sciences. It wasn't until I joined this program that I realized I had a great interest in it and that I did want to continue into a career in the environmental sciences. And the students we work with are from diverse backgrounds. We work with Title I schools in Tucson, so I think 90% of the students are have free reduced lunch. And so these students are from, you know, impoverished backgrounds and the same kind of background as me. They're across the border. Some of them are immigrants. A lot are international immigrants as well. And they don't get kind of, the focused, you know, attention of environmental science outreach. I know some other schools may have that, but specifically these Title I schools usually don't. So we come in and we try to be the role models for them. And I know specifically the teacher I've worked with says the most important thing she finds for the biodiversity program is that the students see us as role models, that you know, we're here at the college and we're studying and we're able to get this kind of level of college experience and bring it into the classroom for the students to see that, hey, they can do it too.
And I love that. Yeah, and I love that Lizbeth was able to share a little bit about what she's seen from her students in the classroom and how this has impacted them, as well as the college students who get to go in and role model that this is possible and absolutely achievable for anybody in Tucson, especially folks who are coming from diverse backgrounds.
Yeah, I love it. I'm going to go off script here for just a moment. Stop me if you want. Thinking about success stories with students and some of those students that you have gotten to be role models for, any worth sharing before we move on to the next question?
Of course, there's like always students who are super into it and super involved in the program, and they actually love when we come in and love sharing what they have. And I'm so sorry, my dog is scratching herself in the background.
Hey, they're just enthusiastic like we all are to hear more. I totally understand. It's all good.
Okay. We haven't seen the pipeline into college, specifically from who I worked with, middle school students. And that's kind of where we would like to expand the program in the past. Of course, we do target high school students, but the lower grades that we also target don't have a direct pipeline into environmental science through college. I've seen the students that do show great enthusiasm, and they're so responsive to us, and they have the best, sometimes the best depictions of, you know, what we want. We want them to notice the biodiversity and notice their place in the world and in their environment. And yeah, I wouldn't know specifically success stories, but of course, there's always the students who just have such great enthusiasm, and I know that they're going to be doing great work in the future.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, one thing that I thought of while you were talking about that, Lizbeth, is every semester we ask students who they think are scientists and what they think scientists look like. And generally, we'll have the U of A interns who are going in and teaching these classes ask at the beginning of the semester and at the end of the semester, after they've taught about what science looks like and how it's important to increase this diversity and inclusion in this field. And so what I've seen a lot of the time is at the beginning of the semester, students will be asked to draw a scientist and to depict what the scientist might look like. Generally, it's an older white male who's in a lab coat, usually has a beaker nearby, explosions maybe in the background. Oh, and then at the end of the semester, you really see these drawings and these depictions, and these perceptions of what science is change dramatically. So at the end of the semester, we can see students drawing themselves as scientists, or drawing the U of A students as scientists, or drawing what they believe a scientist will look like who's actually out in the field conducting some like natural or life sciences. So we really appreciate seeing that shift and knowing that their idea of science and their idea of belonging within science is changing throughout participation in the Biodiversity Project.
I love it. All the way back in episode 4, an eternity ago, it seems, in the world of COVID, Sergio Avila was on this podcast and actually talked a lot about what you're saying right now, i.e. like growing up in Mexico, coming here to the States. I won't speak for him, but basically saying, yeah, like I didn't always see people that looked like me in my field in conservation biology. And that was incredibly challenging. So the work that you're doing, incredibly important. You know, you mentioned drawing scientists. What does that look like online? This is a good opportunity to pivot and ask, how have you reimagined your programming?
We're so grateful for the state of technology today, where we can still do things like drawings with students, writing, and being creative and thinking critically about these concepts. So what we've been doing is using different platforms to engage students in the same kinds of ways that we would normally, except that we're doing it through a computer. So we've been using platforms like Pear Deck or Nearpod or other games that are like Kahoot. or other quizzes, kind of things that are still engaging, hands-on, tactile for students. It's just a little bit more limited now because we're all talking to each other and learning about these things through a screen. So in these kind of interactive PowerPoint platforms, we can still draw, we can still play games, and we can still talk to each other and interface this way. It's just a little bit more challenging. And I'm just so appreciative of the interns in our cohort this semester. We have 19 U of A students who are going out and doing outreach in the community.
Wow.
All of these 19 students, yeah, all of them are just so creative, passionate, and really driven to make this experience as fun as possible. And we know that by making it fun and playful and having this opportunity for students to engage in science in a different way, they'll be more interested and have a positive association with it going forward. So that's some things that we've used to pivot. I know this Beth is out doing some outreach in the community right now. So I wonder if she can speak a little bit about what she's using.
Yeah, totally. So digital stuff is great, but we also utilize, you know, pen and paper. Just this morning, we were taking a virtual field trip up the Mount Lemmon, which is, of course, a sky island. And we're exploring the biodiversity that is, you know, featured when you go up the mountain. And so we had students draw a mountain, and I have my drawing, but we have them draw what's here at the desert, and then we go up into the grasslands, into more forest areas, and all the way up into the temperate forest at the very top. And so, of course, they don't want to take notes when they're at home, and it's very hard to engage sometimes students when it's online. And so we try to make it fun. We want them to have fun when they're learning about this, and it'll make them, you know, remember it more and make it memorable that, you know, they learned about this. And of course, next time they go up Mount Lemmon, they can definitely share that information as well with their parents and be like, well, here down here's the desert, up here's the grassland, and all the way at the top is a different temperate forest. And it's all part of the biodiversity that we're trying to teach them about. So yeah, pen and paper works as well.
Yeah, I love it. People ask me all the time, they're like, you moved to Southern Arizona, what's there? And I'm like, what do you mean? And they're like, it's a desert. And I'm like, yeah, but then there's all this other stuff. You're talking about sky islands, things that I didn't know about until I moved here. It really is an incredible place. I'm going to go off script one more time because I thought of a great question while you were talking, Lizbeth. For any educators who are listening to this, folks that are currently teaching online, yeah, it's super challenging. We hear you. Have either of you found some best practices for working in that online space? You know, you mentioned keeping it fun and making it engaging. I'm wondering if you could speak a little bit more to that.
One thing we've been talking about a lot recently with the interns is how important it is to show up with a supreme amount of enthusiasm and excitement.
And supreme.
We've been talking about this. Yeah, because, you know, it is hard. It is hard to learn online, both for U of A students, but also for these younger students who have had to shift their entire lives to being at home now. And so we have these U of A students show up and be excited and tell them that this is the most important thing in the world to learn about, and we are so excited to be here with you and to share this experience with each other. So if they can show up and they can bring that enthusiasm to the table, you know, we've seen a really great response from younger students and showing up and wanting to engage and play and better understand these concepts and take them home and share them with their families.
Yeah, I think it's also important that we highlight that, you know, we're college students and we're going through this too. And even though it's a difficult time and we all don't want to be online all day, we still want to be there for the students because it's such an important topic for us to show them and to help them learn. So we're always telling the students that, you know, even if you don't want to participate, it's okay as long as you learn and as long as you accept being here, because we are so excited to be here.
I love it. Yeah. So, you know, we've spoken a little bit about your staff, the interns that are working with the project. Tell me a little bit about what the outcomes are for those folks, the students from the U of A coming into the project, doing the teaching, personally, professionally. What does that look like when they pop out on the other side?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's in this dual goal of influencing both U of A students and younger K through 12 students to take this pathway into the environmental sciences. We've seen some amazing outcomes coming from the U of A students who are participants in our program. So after participating in the Biodiversity Project, we see a huge response rate from students who about 100% of them, 100% say that they are more likely and more passionate to promote diversity, inclusion, and equity within the environmental sciences after participation in our program. And we love that this message is taken home with these U of A students and is taken to their other classes and their other internships and their future jobs, because we want them to be spokesmen and women for talking about this important issue and advocating for it within their communities. So that's something that we see coming from this program. We also see a higher rate of investment in local community organizations and initiatives. So a lot of these students are becoming more involved in the community, whether that is within environmental science or education or other initiatives that do foster gender and racial equity within these fields. We also see students going into paid positions after they participate in the Biodiversity Project. So about 20% of our former interns are now employed with one of our partner organizations, which is fantastic. And we hope to see this rate continue to increase, which is why actually we're going to launch a crowdfunding campaign this October 7th of 2020. Yeah. to help raise funds so we can make this more possible. We know that students need funds and they need financial support to continue on this path. And we want to make that a potential for them within our program here within WISE. So we're crowdfunding, we're raising money for more paid positions for U of A students. They deserve to be compensated for the amazing work that they're doing. And we hope to create that potential and possibility for them.
Yeah, love it. So we'll come back to the fundraiser. I want to touch on that at the end for sure, how people can get involved with that. Thinking generally about the future, you know, you're bringing in some capital, you're looking at ways to expand programmatic goals for the project, looking beyond this year, COVID, all these things we're living through right now. Where is this all going?
And it is challenging to see beyond the immediate right now, I'd say, with this circumstance of living through COVID. However, we are still spearheading and looking into the future as much as possible. And so what our executive director of the Women in Science and Engineering program, WISE, Jill Williams, is doing right now is reaching out to different academic departments at the U of A and letting them know how the students in their departments have been impacted by participation in the Biodiversity Project, and hopefully raising some institutional funding to continue this project, because we've really seen the positive impact come out from this, and we'd love to see it continue in the future. Right now, we are so generously funded by the University of Arizona Green Fund, and we are so grateful for the opportunity to work with them and to be funded by them. And what has come out of this funding is we've actually been able to spearhead a new aspect of our programming called the Biodiversity Project Leadership Program. And this is a very small cohort of four amazing young women at the U of A who are coming from underrepresented diverse backgrounds and who are going to put on events in the spring semester that focus on fostering diversity and inclusion and equity within the environmental science fields, but also promote sustainability and conservation of biodiversity within both our U of A community, but also within the larger context of our Tucson community. So these events might look like having a panel of amazing guest speakers to come in and talk about how they've overcome barriers in going into the STEM fields or the environmental science conservation fields, or it could look like working with other local organizations who are already trying to promote these same goals and missions, and we can collaborate with them on making these happen. So the Biodiversity Project Leadership Program has been a really great opportunity for us to expand our programming, involve more U of A students, and engage with them on these really important topics. And hopefully this larger engagement from more folks, more departments, and more people from diverse backgrounds and help promote this and spearhead it into future investments from different institutions and different academic departments.
Very cool. I'm going to go off script again. Thank you for your patience. another thought I had listening to you respond, let's say that I am another school or university listening to you talk, and I'm saying, wow, this sounds amazing. I would like to start something similar at my institution. Thinking back to the start of this project, what would you say to another college that was interested in doing similar work? What advice would you have? What thoughts would you want to share?
Maybe I'll start and then Liz Beth can jump in. I would say that the most important thing that we've seen coming from the Biodiversity Project and learning and gathering feedback over the 4 years that we've been doing this programming is how important diversity is, but also collaboration with different organizations that are diverse and have different perspectives. And we've really learned how important this collaboration can be when we bring in guest speakers into our weekly class for the interns or for the leadership program. And we have field trip opportunities out to Saguaro National Park. And we're also able to offer field trips to local K-12 students to Saguaro National Park that are fully funded by the Friends of Saguaro National Park. And this collaboration has really been the driving force of our success, being able to talk with other people who are invested in the same mission and goals and work with them and bring all of our skill sets to the table, respectively, and being able to create really great outcomes. So I'd say as much as possible, collaborate with folks who are invested in the same things or would like to see the same kind of future.
I think also part of the focus of the biodiversity program is specifically our biodiversity in the Sonoran Desert. So we find the people here and the environment here is just incredible and has so much to learn from and so much potential. And you need to find that in your own community if you were trying to take this on at another area. It's important to have place-based, you know, education for the students. They need to feel welcome in their area and they need to feel connected to it. And that's how these lessons are so successful, because they see these things, they see these animals, they see these processes, they see these plants, just like Mount Lemmy, you know, it's right there and it's such an amazing host of biodiversity. And it's not just here, it's in all over the country, of course, it's in all different types of places. So just like Elena was talking about, you know, reaching out to the diverse people around you, you need to reach out and connect the biodiversity in your environmental area as well.
Yes. You mentioned place-based education, and that warms my heart, because my first year of graduate school with Teton Science Schools was nothing but place-based ed. Very exciting. Tell me a little bit about the curriculum itself, and something I'm just curious about, which one of you or both of you plays a role in developing and shaping that, and I guess what writing those lessons and deciding all that information looks like.
Yeah, that's a great question. So both of us play a huge role in developing the curriculum, but I'd say more so our interns play the biggest role. So they're the ones going out, finding existing curriculum or existing lesson plan and adapting, modifying it to their needs. So with the curriculum that we go out and teach these K-12 students, we have three primary goals. So one, we want it to be place-based. We want it to focus on the Sonoran Desert. Second, we want it to be focused on biodiversity, because the variety of life around us is really what is the driving force behind our focus of our program. And third, we want it to be hands-on. As much as possible this semester, of course, because we're teaching 100% remotely, but if we can make it somehow hands-on, engaging, the students can be writing, drawing, typing, doing other things, talking. So as much as we can make it engaging for students, that is what we're trying to do. And so when the interns gather these lessons and have kind of an outline for what they'd like to teach, both Elizabeth and I go through the lessons, offer feedback, and then we have a time span of 2 weeks between them when the lesson plan is initially developed and when they go out and teach it. And we want to have this kind of a two-week barrier because we want to offer the partner teachers that we work with in the K-12 schools the opportunity to look at it, evaluate it, and see if it is going to work or not for their students and what could be improved about it. So we really want these to be high quality lesson plans that the students will enjoy and remember. And then we also want this to be an opportunity for us to put these lesson plans up on our website to share with other educators who are invested in teaching the same kind of concepts. So we actually right now have on our website a bunch of lesson plans for K-12 educators. If anybody's interested in teaching about biodiversity of the Sonoran Desert, we'd love for you to use these resources.
Yeah, and just a little bit of an insert is that we also have Spanish lessons on the website. Just this last year, we were working with a bilingual school. So we've developed lessons in Spanish as well, centered around these themes of biodiversity.
Love it. Yeah. So all this heart, this passion, this work being poured into what you're doing, here's something I'm really interested in. Tell me a little bit about each of your personal journeys to doing this work. How did you arrive in the role you're in now? And what made you so passionate about pursuing these things?
All right, so I'll go first. I joined the biodiversity program. It's been a year now, so last fall, 2019. And it was really such a turn in my life because I came into college as a physics major, so a really hard science. And after 2 years of doing that, I had no passion for it. I felt kind of excluded from the community that it was supposed to be. And I just left and I went into undecided major. And over the summer, I took a social justice course because I felt that that's what was missing from my life. You know, it was something I was passionate about that I never got to interact with in the physics major curriculum. So through that, I was really connected to my teacher, Miss Erica Nassim, who works for WISE, and she connected me to Elena and connected me to the program. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, this is something I need to do. It's reaching out to students who are from my background who would have the same experience as me, that they don't know if they're accepted into these communities because they don't see themselves in it. So I joined and I was so excited for it because I also got to teach in Spanish, which is amazing to me because I was never encouraged, you know, never saw Spanish as like something formal or something connected to science at all. And it was going to be a great opportunity for me to get some more experience in that and to, you know, spread my joy for it to the students and show them that, you know, they're welcome in this community and that not only can they make it into the environmental sciences, but they can make it to college. And so through the program with my two co-interns who were helping me out, they were also amazing educators who taught me a lot and, you know, introduced me more into the environmental sciences. I decided that this is what I want to study and I want to study natural resources from this or from that experience. And so now I'm still with the biodiversity, working to help other interns do this. And of course, filling in still in these classrooms when they needed me. That's how I came to be here. And I'm so excited to still be here because this is exactly the type of work I want to be doing, just helping out in representation, education, and science communication, because I do love science. That's why I came as a physics major. But, you know, this is more of the social justice side of science, which I need in my life to feel connected to the community as well.
Yeah, and I want to give a big shout out to Erica Nassim for connecting Lizbeth and I. I am so grateful for the opportunity to work with Lizbeth, both as an intern and now in her paid position as intern support specialist. She is instrumental in making this program a success. So thanks for being here, Lizbeth. My path is a little different. I went to get my undergrad at Northern Arizona University, and I studied environmental studies and sustainability, and Spanish was my minor. And I loved it, but found the greater joy in actually doing a lot of volunteer work. So what I worked on was something called that Louise covered, which is the local food pantry at NAU. And I helped connect folks who were food insecure or needed additional resources to non-perishable items at the university. And I was a volunteer coordinator for the program, so I would connect other students with opportunities to volunteer there as well. And then from that opportunity, I got to know other people invested in the same kind of issues of food insecurity and food access, as well as student wellness. I started this program called the Food Recovery Network, which is actually a nationwide program. So I started the local chapter, which was the first in Arizona. And the Food Recovery Network's goals was to recover food that would normally go to waste in campus cafeterias and donate it to local organizations within the community who could use it to feed folks, specifically homeless folks within the community. And so I ended up connecting with Sodexo, the food provider at NAU, and letting them know that food waste is an issue and we can do something about it. And so we would work with a lot of different student organizations who needed volunteer hours and help actually drive the physical food over to local food shelters and food banks. And they would then feed that food that same day to folks who needed it. And we ended up donating over 5,000 pounds of food that would normally go to waste within the first 6 months of the program, which was just incredible to see that this effort was made a success so quickly. And from that experience in being like a leader within the local chapter, I ended up hearing about this program called Food Corps, which is a nationwide AmeriCorps program that focuses on connecting kids to healthy food in schools. And so I applied and was accepted and worked as a service member with Food Corps for 2 years in Prescott, actually, with the Prescott
Farm.
Yeah. And my role as a Food Corps service member was to connect kids to healthy food in schools by building school gardens and increasing the amounts of produce that was available in their local cafeteria, but also teaching food literacy within their local classrooms. So I would go in and teach. It was over 8,000 students in my 2 years there, but I would focus specifically on after school programs where I got to know small cohorts of 10 to 12 fifth and sixth graders, as well as second and third graders, got to know them and their interest in cooking and nutrition and gardening, and how they were bringing this knowledge home to their families and their communities. Also from my involvement with Food Corps, I got to go out to different tribal nations within Arizona and help with different volunteer projects there with the service members who were based there. So we would do some different focuses on health and wellness in general within these tribal communities. So we worked on local farms that were focused on food sovereignty. We would also do fun runs and 5Ks. We would serve produce in local cafeterias. And we would try to connect as much as possible the local farmers to the cafeteria managers to try to get their produce served in the schools. So that path, you know, ended taking me to doing some grant writing and grant writing evaluation, as well as teaching in local tribal nations in New Mexico as a garden educator, and then landed me here at the U of A, where I get to use my knowledge as a previous educator in the K-12 school setting to teach U of A students how to be great experiential educators, and how to lesson plan, you know, how to classroom manage, and how to use their enthusiasm and passion for these kind of topics, and employ that in their lessons with students. So that is how I ended up here.
Yeah, so the project, do you have social media, a website? Where can people go to learn more about what it is that you do?
Yeah, so we have all three. We have social media on Instagram, Facebook. You're always welcome to connect with us on our website via email as well. Our website is biodiversityproject.arizona.edu. And there you can find both Lizbeth and my contact information. Feel free to reach out if you have any questions or just want to chat, because we love connecting with local community.
All right. That concludes today's chat about climate poverty and service here in Tucson, Arizona. You can find new episodes of the Tucson Climate Chats podcast on Fridays at anchor.fm/Tucson-climate-chats. or on Spotify and most other major audio distributors. Like the show, comments, questions, compliments, concerns, smart remarks? Feel free to email me, Nick, at nspinelli, S-P-I-N-E-L-L-I, at arizonaserve.org. And gratitude to each and every one of you for the opportunity to do this work as well as support yours. Onwards.